Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone. We thank God this morning for waking us up. We thank Him for letting us see this new day, the day that He has made. And we are rejoicing. We are glad to be in this day. We just thank Him for waking us up this morning, because there are some people who went to sleep last night and they did not make it today. But we are here at the prayer, praise, and deliverance, this circle of friends. And we just thank God that He saw us fit and He honored us to give us this mandate, this work, you know, just to intercede and pray for others and pray for each other and encourage each other at the early morning hour, in the morning before we do anything. That's how we start our day. So we thank God for the opportunity, for our God is a good God. He is a prayer-hearing God. Not only does He hear, but He answers prayer, because this is the confidence that we have, that when we ask Him anything according to His will, He will hear us. Not only does He hear us, but He will answer. He will give us those petitions. He will attend to those petitions. So we are grateful to have a God who is active, for our God is not dead, but He is alive. He is a God of action. He is an active God. Amen. And today is Friday. This is the first Friday of the month of June. Today is June the 5th. 5 June 2020. Yes, we are right at the heart of the year, the center of the year, the mid part of the year, 2020 June. And we thank God because He still reigns. He is in charge. He is in control. And we are grateful to have a real God, the creator of heaven and earth. So this morning, I would like to start by taking the prayer request. We're going to open up the lines and we will take the prayer request, and then we will get into the word and then we pray. Amen. So the lines are open and we can take all your prayer needs. If anyone has a prayer request and also want to know who is here today, so the lines are open right yes. now.
Good morning, Minister Beth Galactica. I pray for me, the family, and we want to pray. The wife just opened the door, said that they have a fire on one of the boats in Blunt Island. That's where they go to work at in the Navy and the port yard. So we want to pray for that, and we want to pray for our country, the United States of America. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks, sir. Anyone else?
Good morning. This is Sister Marie. Pray for my daughter. Her name is Charlene, and she's in real estate. So let's pray that God bless her, that real estate booms, you know, financially, she be provided for.
Any other?
Yes, my name is Darlene, and
I'm currently working temporary, but I would like to pray for favor and permanent employment, and to be able to make enough to afford my own house, so that I won't have to get two jobs. So I'm believing God for favor and with the current position.
Amen. Praise God. Any other? Amen. If we do not have any other, okay, is there anyone who just joined us who has a prayer request or a prayer need? We are taking prayer requests right now and prayer needs.
Good morning. Good morning. Can you
hear
me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, this is Belinda. Please continue to pray for my son, Charles. Just lift him up in prayer for salvation and me, my whole family, and everybody's family. But the little Jazzy Cruz, she's still struggling with something in her mind. So I just want to pray that she succeed in all that she desired to do. And just keep us in prayer for everybody on this prayer line, too, in this world, for healing. For healing.
Praise God.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
This is Vaughn Lester. I want to pray that my daughter, Kiana, and them, they're going out of town today, but they can have a safe trip down and back. Thank you.
Amen. And when we pray for Keon for travel, we also just going to include our very own Pastor Darlene. She is still out of town and for protection and travel. I'm not sure when she's coming back home, but that is protection. Okay.
Can I add someone to the line, please?
Yes.
I want to add my granddaughter, Chelsea Smith. She's pregnant, and her baby's due September. I'm just praying that she, you know, have healthy baby and healthy delivery. I want to put my husband, Johnny, on that prayer line, that God will touch his heart and his mind and just deliver him and his entire family. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. What's your husband's name? Mr. Belinda?
Johnny Jackson.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
I thank you so much.
JJ.
Yeah, yes, Johnny.
Okay. Praise God. So before we pray, we are just going to get into our scripture of the week, and then from there we will go into prayer. Our scripture of the week is in the book of Corinthians, and I would ask you if you would mute your phone. Okay, if we would mute our phones, and I will help you over here too. Okay, our scripture of the week is in the book of Corinthians, and it's in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and it's verses 3 and 5, and we are not going to dwell there. I will give you another scripture and then a few more scriptures later. Then we get into prayer. But I would want to read the scripture of the week out loud. And we just thank God also for his help and his favor. And some of us have been fasting this week, and some a day, some two, some might be three, some they took the whole week. I don't know, whatever the Lord has put on your heart. But we would want to continue in prayer and in fasting, and just a supplication, and just a it is war. We are in war, spiritual warfare, and we want to be alert soldiers. Thing helps us. It doesn't make God any bigger or any less, but it helps us to be more alert. So I will encourage you, partial fasting, full fasting, whichever way you want to do it. But let's be diligent. I mean, let's be alert and continuing fasting. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought of the obedience of Christ. And I'm going to add verse 6 on there, and says, having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So all these things will be done when we are obedient. So obedience plays a very big role in our Christian life, in our walk with the Lord. And we're going to go to Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, 25 to 35. This is the parable of the Good Samaritan. And I'm also reading in a King James Version. But let us start with verse 24. It says, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. That just made me think of the situation and circumstances and all what is going on this time in our nation, and not only our nation, but also the whole world as is. There is a lot. Besides, I know there hasn't been fully settling for people, for nations. There have been wars here and there, and you know, but right now we have two, in my opinion, we have these two pandemics that are going on, the COVID-19 pandemic and the racial pandemic, where our nation is not there is a lot of discord going on, for lack of a better word. But right here, this first scripture, 24, just caught my attention, that Jesus was telling his disciples, and he says that many prophets and kings have desired to see these things. I bet they had other things going on in their era at that time, Jesus' disciples. But to us at this particular time, there are so many things that we are hearing and we are seeing that have not been heard before. But after all this, so in other words, before Jesus started telling them this parable, because that was the way Jesus was teaching, he always taught or teaches in parables, trying to tell the earthly story, however, teaching them spiritual things, the heavenly meaning, so that they can grasp it, putting it in a way that they will understand. So he laid up front before he told them the story of the Good Samaritan, this parable. He said there are so many things that are going on, and there is a lot of discord going on. And these things you are seeing right now, and these things that are going on right now, some people, the prophets and the kings, they have not heard them. So we have things we are going through right now. Someone might argue that, oh, they had also other things or whatever. Yes, they did. But we are experiencing this situation that 5, 10, 15 years prior was not at this intensity, including the health. So we have our health at jeopardy with COVID-19. We have our economy in jeopardy. We have also our laws and order in jeopardy because of injustice and because of disrespectful or whatever. There is a lot of chaos and disorder. However, within that setting, Jesus taught this parable of the Good Samaritan. And that's the book of Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 35. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? How do you read it? Is the question. And the lawyer answering, and he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him off his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went on to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will pay thee. And I just read Luke 10, verses 25 to 35. We did read 24 also. And as I said, right in the midst of all the chaos and everything going on, our God still expects goodness. He still expect us to function in the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the kindness, long-suffering, loving, gentleness, and self-control. He expects us. But he told this story. This man came to him, he said. And this man's target, all what he wanted to do was to tempt Jesus. That was his intention, was to tempt Jesus. So he asked a question, wanting to tempt him. And he said, what do I need to do? Look what is going on around me. There's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of disorder. There's a lot of unrestness, and people are filled with anger, and they are upset because there's a lot of injustice going on, disrespecting others going on. So what shall I do? I still want to inherit eternal life. And Jesus said, you know the law. How do you read it? You are a Christian. You are a child of God. You have your Bible. How do you read it? What does it say? And this lawyer said to Jesus, where I read, it says, I need to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my strength. Not only just the strength, also my mind. I have to love my God with all my mind. And after I have done all that loving of my God, I also have to love my neighbor as I love myself. And Jesus answered him and said, oh, you are right. You have said it correctly. So you go ahead, go and do it. And once you do that, you will live. But this lawyer was not satisfied. He wanted to justify himself, to justify the temptation, wanted to accuse Jesus, wanted to find fault on Jesus. So he said to him, try to play smart, and say to Jesus, so who is my neighbor? He's asking Jesus. He knows his own neighborhood. He knows the person who lives on the right of his house, who lives on the left. He knows the person who lives right in front of him or behind him. He knows this neighborhood. I bet he has been living there for a very long time. Even if he is a new tenant or a new person, a new homeowner, he knows because he bought the place. It's his own. He has a lease or he has a mortgage on it. But now he is asking Jesus, for Jesus to tell him who his neighbor is. He said to Jesus, so who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered, he did not tell him that Mr. Jones or Mr. Adams or Mr. Roberts or whatever is your neighbor. Jesus did not say that. He answered him by telling a story, and that's the heart of the story, the one we just read, that there was a man who was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was minding his own business, going from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was just on his way, maybe to do some kind of business or to visit a family member or whatever the reason why he was going. It was important for him to go. And Jesus says, as he was on his way, he fell among thieves. These people trapped him. They attacked him, torn his garments, and wounded him. They beat him up. I know they did not do all that for nothing. I bet they took whatever he had. If he had money in his pocket, if he was carrying some groceries for whoever he was visiting, or he was carrying something worth carrying, taking a journey for, to from Jerusalem to Jericho, whatever he had, they took it away from him and wounded him, beat him up. Because these are thieves. Other versions say they are robbers. And took it away from him. And then they left him half dead. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus said. He said he left these thieves. So there was not one. But there were more. This just reminds me of that scripture where it says the enemy comes to us in one way, but he lives in seven ways. We think it's just one attack we have, but there are several, there are multiple. The Bible says when they live in seven ways, because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. So these thieves, they left this man half dead. And he went on to say, by chance, this man is struggling for his life. He is half dead. But by chance, he wasn't even expecting anyone to come by. But by chance, when he's struggling, he's about to die, he's half dead. He's struggling with his life. They came down a certain priest. This is a priest who came down that way. But look what happened. When this priest saw him, he just passed by on the other side. He literally had to avoid him because he was coming, going towards this man who is half dead. But this priest decided to go another way, on another side, and did not even pay attention to him. We have so many occasions, so many times when we are struggling and we are half dead spiritually, or we are battling storms of life, and someone, a sister, a brother, whom comes and we see them coming. We hear their footsteps that they are coming, and we think they're going to help us. But they go on the other side. They leave us. Actually, reminds me of the scripture where is our help comes from the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. He is our helper in time of trouble. And he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And he said he will never leave us nor forsake us. That's the God we serve. But this priest, this certain priest, I don't know what kind of priesthood, which church he ministered to, but he passed by. He went on the other side, did not help this man. But this man is still half dead. He's still struggling, trying to survive, trying to live, trying to breathe. He's still lying there, struggling, half dead. And you know when a person is agonizing, not feeling well, your voice is very shallow, your voice is very low. So he could hear footsteps, but he can't really see. And he is just, help, help, help. But no, the priest went another way. He went on the other side. And the Bible says, likewise. So that he was struggling and was anticipating help from this priest. And he heard the sound of his footsteps fading away. But then a little bit longer, he heard another sound of footsteps. And they were coming closer now. These were going away, and they heard a new set of footsteps coming towards him. And the Bible says, likewise, a Levite. He walked through that same place. But this one took a step further. He was curious. He went and looked. But he passed by the other side. He just got closer enough so that he can look. In our modern days, these are the passerbys, the ones who pull out their cell phones and take pictures, take videos, so that they can post them on the social media, so they can attract likes or viewers. But they do nothing to help you. All they do is take those pictures, those videos. If you come to a point where you are in need of help, and someone comes, a sister, a brother, a friend, a co-worker, whoever, a family member, and they say, "You look so down. What is going on? Are you okay?" You think they are here to help? Because probably you know their profile, that they might be able to help you. You tell them your story. And they say, oh my God. And they walk away. They just take the news. They take the story. And they go away. So this Levite came and he got closer. And he got his selfie. He did whatever he looked on him. And passed by on the other side. And the Bible says, Jesus said, but, after all these, but, a certain Samaritan, at this time he was just a certain Samaritan, that later he became a good Samaritan because of what he did. But it says, a certain Samaritan, He was on a journey. His journey where he wanted to go. The Bible does not tell us why these other two, the priest and the Levite, why they were there. Were they on a journey, or they were just taking a walk? They were just strolling around, or they lived in the neighborhood? It didn't tell us. But it tells us about this certain Samaritan, that he was on a journey. So he was on a mission. He had somewhere to go. He had things to do. But when he came, when he passed by and saw this man half dead, lying there, when he saw him, he was pulled with compassion. He was filled with compassion toward this man. Whether he was running behind on time, where he was going, we don't know. But he had so much compassion. He felt so much sorry about this man that he stopped where he was going. He stopped his journey and he attended this man. The Bible says when Jesus explained, he said he bound, he cleaned his wound, and he looked in his bag to see what was in there, in his bag. And he took some oil and wine, put it on this man's wounds after he cleaned him up. And after he has done that, I would like to think probably he had a jar of water, a bottle of water or somewhere, or maybe ran us over to the other side, find a little stream of water and gave him some water. And he took him. He prepared a place for him. Mind you, this man, this Samaritan, was on a journey. When a person takes a journey, they pack things, they prepare things. I want to believe on his donkey, he had his luggage and himself, but then he had to prepare a space for him. Because his donkeys did not multiply there. He still had one donkey with him. And he prepared a place, a comfortable place, as he could, using what he had, to put this man on his horse. And Jesus continued telling the story. He said after he carried this man on his horse, I don't know whether it was on his way, this inn where he took the man, this hospital, this care place, where he took this man. I don't know whether it was part of his journey or he had to get off his way to find the nearest place to take this man. And when he took him, he spoke with the innkeeper, because the time now, it was late for him to continue his journey. He had to spend a night there. And he paid his bill and paid for this man. And he spoke with the innkeeper, the hotel attendant, whatever that place, the breakfast bed and what do they call it? Bed and breakfast room or place, whatever. But he paid for his own expenses and he also paid for this man. And he said to the innkeeper, take care of him. And whatsoever you spend, anything more than to what I have paid you right now, when I come back, I will repay you. Care of him. Give him what he needs. Care for him. Give him what necessities, what is necessary, what the resources he needs so that he can be strong and get back on the way and go where he is going. But myself, I'm going to continue my journey where I'm going. When I come back, whatever extra expenses this man will accrue, I will pay for you. This reminds me of our Lord Jesus Christ. He paid a debt he did not owe. We owed a debt we couldn't pay. But Jesus, he paid it in full. He loved us. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only, his one son, Jesus Christ. So that you and I, today, we can call on him. We were once sinners. We were once out there blind. We were out there half dead. And Jesus, he came and saved us. He loved us before we even knew him. I bet this man was half conscious, half dead. He didn't know even how he got there. I bet the inn attendant had to explain to him what happened when he came to himself. And he's like, where am I? Why am I here? What happened? And this innkeeper had to explain to him what happened. This is what is going on today out there. There are people half dead. They don't know the Lord. They have never heard anything about Jesus. Some are just rebellious and prodigal. They are out there wandering. But we need to tell them that there is a Savior whose name is Jesus, who paid a debt that he did not own. And we owned a debt that we could not pay, and he paid it for us. And now we are here in the name of Jesus. For our God, the one Ephesians explains in Ephesians 3:20, that now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Hallelujah. And we do not want to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. It only takes the word of God to renew our mind, that we may prove that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even in the midst of the chaos, as we seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, so that all these things be added unto us. Hallelujah. For we know that our God's purposes and plans, they will prevail. He will never fail us. He will not start now. He will not start today. For his promises are yea and amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father God. We honor you. Let's just be in unison and in agreement in prayer. Mighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, we give you glory. We give you honor. For in you, Lord, we live and move and have our being. Without you, we can do nothing. In the mighty name of Jesus, we firstly, Father God, we pray for ourselves before we bring all these needs and these requests and supplications, Father, because we do know that our world is in trouble right now. There is trouble in our land, and we need you. We need your help. We need you, Father, to help us that we can function in the midst of the chaos and madness, that we can still function and exhibit the love of Christ. I know some of us are angry, frustrated, distressed. We are worried. We are nervous, we are concerned, we are feeling very uneasy. Some of us are losing patience, we are getting impatient with what is going on. Some are afraid, filled with fear, fear is creeping in. There are so many, many other adjectives that can explain how we are feeling and what is going on during this struggle. But we are believing, God, at this time, Father, regardless of circumstances and situations, we still belong to you, Lord. We still trust you. And we want to have those fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the kindness, goodness, and also being faithful to you, Lord, gentleness and self-control. Because this is the time, Lord, that who we are, who we are made of, who we are for, is going to show right now in these circumstances, because things are not going well. In the mighty name of Jesus, so we pray, Father God, that you forgive us of all our sins. Whatever we have done, indeed, in thinking, in saying, in whatever way, Father God, we pray that you forgive us and cleanse us with your grace, O Lord. Wash us clean in the name of Jesus, that the enemy, the accuser of the saints, will not accuse us of anything in the mighty name of Jesus. This morning, Father God, we pray for families. In Jesus' name, the Hosley family, the Jackson family, and every family that is represented here, my family, my children. Praise Abraham, Queen, and my grandkids, Jaden and Dominique, and every child, every grandchild, every family represented here this morning. We just pray, Father, for your protection, for your provision, for your guidance, for your goodness and mercy, Lord, to follow us all the days of our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, Father God, for you are the designer of family, marriages. We pray, Father. I know families, they talk and they have different views and different opinions of what is going on, even in the political realm, Lord. As a family, they have different political views and whatever. That is, they will be able to live in peace and in love, even if they have different opinions, that this will not put a strain on their relationship. This will not put a strain in the family. In the mighty name of Jesus, that the enemy who is an opportunist will take advantage and try to creep in and divide families because of this. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, Father God, for we trust you, Lord, for some trust in chariots, some in horse, that we will remember the name of the Lord, our God. For the name of the Lord is our strong tower. And when we run to you, Father, we are safe. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for our sister Mary's daughter, Charlene, who is in the real estate business, and there are a lot of people in different businesses at this time. We just pray, Father God, for favor and for wisdom, that you just separate them, Father. We know you to be our provider, because you are Jehovah Jireh, the God, our provider. I pray, Father, that you separate us and separate Charlene in this realtor business she's in, that she will excel. Because, Father God, you can do anything and everything. Circumstances and situations do not change you. I thank you, Father. You are our provider. You provided manna for the children of Israel when they were on their journey to their promised land. They did not have storages and places to save food, but you provide manna to them, Father. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father God, because you fed them and you clothed them and you also protected their health, their bodies. And you can do that for us, Father, even in the midst of uncertain in our economy where things are not going well. But you also, you will always, always be on our side. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, Father. We pray for our sister Darlene, Lord, that you give her favor at this temporal job where she is. Because we do know, Father God, that when you open a door, no man can shut it. So you opened this door, Father, for her to be there. And I pray, Father God, that if this is her job and she desires it to be hers, because you give us the desires of our hearts, I pray that you give it to her in the mighty name of Jesus. I know they might have whatever the company policy, company rules, but we have and serve a company that is bigger than any other company, and that is yours. Because you drive the hearts of men. I pray, Father God, that when they sit in those conference rooms and making decisions where she is right now, wanting to decide whether to keep her or to let her go, I just pray, Father God, releasing your Holy Spirit to be present and stand on her behalf in the name of Jesus. For you who has begun a good thing in her, Lord, you will complete it. You do not leave it halfway. You are not like men. They tease you with something, trying to manipulate you, trying to control you. But God, when you do something, you do it all the way in full. So I pray, Father, that you bless our sister, Lord, Darlene, and that she'll have a permanent job, the job she desires, that pays enough, that she doesn't have to hold 2-3 jobs here and there and everywhere else, but one good, decent job. And that she'll be able to have her own place, a place she calls home, where she comes and rests and lay her head to rest. not only resting her body, but where she will call and be able to communicate with you and call unto you in her own place. In the mighty name of Jesus, and I pray for all other people who are seeking for employment, steady employment, permanent employment, including my son Abraham, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, a decent job, in the name of Jesus, that is right, everything right, distance-wise, transportation, whatever, all the dots connected. Yes, it is possible, because I know you to be a possible God. There is nothing impossible with you. I pray, Father God, for all those here and our family members and friends who are seeking employment, Lord, that you give it to them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. All the corners of this world, they belong to you. For you have the whole world in the palm of your hand. So I thank you, Father God, for blessing our sister Darlene and everyone else seeking employment, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray for Charles, Lord. In the name of Jesus, for his salvation, that he will know you. Whatever is still holding him back, we are believing, God, for his salvation. Charles, wherever you are, we stand the Holy Ghost, who is our teacher. I pray, Lord, that you soften his heart, touch his heart, that when he hear your word, when he hear your voice, you will not harden his heart, but he will receive you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, that he will have his soul on the road of Damascus experience, in the name of Jesus, that he will call you, Lord. Yes, that he come to his senses as that prodigal son, when he came back to his senses and get back home. So Charles, in Jesus' name, and everyone else, we call for salvation, Father. Men and women from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west, they come, compile them, Father, draw them unto you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray for Jazz, that she will succeed, Father, in the name of Jesus, to do good to her, Lord. I thank you, Father, in Chelsea, Lord. She's expecting. We just pray, Father God, that she touch her body, that she will carry her baby full term, both the baby and the mother in good health. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father God, that there are no complications. In the name of Jesus, and with these few more months left, that you continue to strengthen her body. And when she eats, I pray that she will eat right and have a good appetite and be able to feed herself and her baby. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father God. I honor you, Lord. I thank you, Father, and I also pray for my sister's husband, Johnny Jackson, Lord, and all husbands out there, Father, and our sisters right here, their husbands, and those with their spouses. I just bless every family, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And for John Jackson, Lord, you do good to him. Give him wisdom, Father, that he is the priest of his own household, that he's a provider and a protector of his family, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Give him wisdom, Father, that wherever he's lacking, wherever he has lost his grip, his position, restore it back to him, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. We pray for traveling nurses, Lord. For Kiana, she's traveling, our sister's daughter, We just pray, Father God, for traveling mercies, that you go before her, behind her, around her, that no harm or danger will befall her in the name of Jesus. Wherever she passes through, that nothing will distract her or get her off her way, but everything will work out for good, Lord. Even our very own Sister Darlene, for traveling mercies and protection where she is away, and you protect her home while she's not there. For you are the true protector, Lord. Because your word says, unless the Lord build a house, he that builds it build in vain. Unless the Lord protects the house, he that protects it protects in vain. So everything we have, we trust you for protection and shielding us, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, and anyone else who's traveling, planning to travel this weekend or in the near future, right here at this circle of friends, I just release the traveling mercies of God to protect and shield each and everyone, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we just pray, Father, for the state of our country. I pray, Father, for international, national, state, and local leaders, that you give them wisdom, Father, to make good decisions, sound decisions, Lord. And this is what you expect us to do, as you stated in 1 Timothy 2, that we need to pray for all our leaders, to petition in prayer, in intercession, and thanksgiving. Yes, in the name of Jesus, that we will be able to live peaceful and live a quiet life, all godliness and holiness. So we pray, Father, for international, national, state, and local leaders all the way to our neighborhoods and households, that they will be done in wisdom, Father. We pray for our president of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump, Lord, that you give him wisdom. You help him, Father. Because we know, Father God, as your word reminds us, that you are the one who puts kings and in position of authority. And you can drive them the way they should go, the way they should govern. So at this time, Father God, pray that you help our president, you help the state governors, the state mayors, as they make decisions, Father, with all their respective cabinets and advisors. I just pray, Father God, that you help them, that they make good decisions, that when they make those decisions and policies, that there will be policies to heal and not to hate. In the name of Jesus, that their decisions will be to unite and not to divide. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Father God, that they have a building spirit, decisions and convictions built and not to tear down. I thank you, Father, that you guard and direct their steps in the name of Jesus. For the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. You said it is like a river of water. You control the way it flows, Lord. So we pray, Father God, that you drive their hearts. I know there are some among them who know you. I pray, Father God, that you let their light shine and let their voices be heard when they make this decision. In the mighty name of Jesus, we continue praying, Father, for those who are not feeling well, those who are sick with all other diseases, and some are sick with this pandemic, the COVID-19. We just pray for your healing power, Lord, that you heal, that you heal our land, Lord. As a nation, as a country, to regain the respect in the name of Jesus. And we just send a special prayer, Father, for our brothers and sisters, especially in the black community, Father. They've been oppressed, suppressed, disrespected for a very long time. And we pray, Father, that it is time that when you arise, O God, all the enemies scatter. So we pray, Father God, that you heal our land. Heal our land, Lord. You said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, confess their sins and turn away from their wicked ways and pray, you will hear us, Lord. Not only do you hear us, but you will heal our land. So we intercede. We turn away from our wicked ways, Father, on behalf of our country, on behalf of our nation, that you heal our land, Lord. In the name of Jesus, restore our land. Restore humanity, that people will be treated equally and that people will be treated in respect. In the name of Jesus, fairly, Lord, that the laws and justice be saved. I pray, Father God, that you comfort all those who have lost their loved ones. In the name of Jesus and the Floyd family, Lord, and all those who have lost their loved ones. And I pray for my family. We just lost our uncle yesterday. I pray, Father, that you comfort the family and they are preparing the funeral arrangements that you provide, Lord. In the name of Jesus, for our Lord, you are a good shepherd. As David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He make me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Lord. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us, Lord. Thank you for comforting us, for preparing a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Thank you, Lord, for anointing our heads with oil and our cups run over. They run over. And surely your goodness and mercy, they follow us all the days of our lives. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hallelujah. God bless amen. You. And you have a wonderful weekend, a blessed weekend. This weekend is going to be better than last weekend, for we move from glory to glory. So expect a very, very good weekend, regardless of how the enemy might roar like a lion, but he's not a lion. There's only one lion of the tribe of Judah, and Jesus Christ. And it's going to be a good weekend. It's going to get better.
Thank you, Jesus.
Better. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. We are so grateful for each and everyone who has joined us today. There may be someone out there who has not received Jesus as your Savior. We invite you to do the sinner's prayer with us today, and then you will be saved, as you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. If you will repeat after me, Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I confess with my mouth, I believe in my heart that Jesus died, was buried, and he rose again. I ask you, Father, to help me to grow in the things of God. Well, we thank God for each and everyone who did the sinner's prayer. The angels are rejoicing, and we rejoice with you. And what I would suggest is that you find a good Bible teaching church to attend in your region. Find a church that will teach you about Jesus and his love, so that you will be able to grow in the knowledge of the truth. Right now, if you desire to send a donation, an offering, or gift to support our ministry, you may send it to Prayer, Praise, and Deliverance Ministries. The address is 3171 Ardley Road, Southwest. The street is spelled A-R-D-L-E-Y. That's 3171 Ardley Road, Southwest, in the city of Atlanta, Georgia, zip code 30311. If you desire to listen to a session after we're off the air, you can log into blogtalk.com, Prayer, Praise, Deliverance. Once again, that's blogtalk.com, Prayer, Praise, Deliverance. Or you may dial the number 605-313-4929. The access code is 278961#. Select the pound sign for current session. And if you desire to listen to a previous session, please give me a call or send me a text. My number is 904-859-1022. Once again, the number is 904-859-1022. I decree that the plowman overtakes the reaper in your life and that you live in continuous abundance. And I decree that the favor of God continues to overtake you as you live for Jesus Christ. Amen.